Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast Podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I am here with my colleagues Zach Rosenblatt and Justin Spears. We are going to review the big victory over Washington State last week. We're going to look ahead to the huge showdown in Los Angeles with USC that's coming up this Saturday. As per usual, on our Monday pod, we'll give you some sound from Rich Rodriguez's weekly news conference. We will start out with some conversation that Rich had with us today about Khalil Tate and the fact that he's winning some awards, you know, doing some unprecedented things, but not necessarily getting the national exposure that some other guys are getting because of when Arizona has been playing and on what network Arizona has been playing. Here are Rich Rod's thoughts on that, and we'll come back, talk about that, some other stuff, and we'll get to it in a moment. Here's Rich.
I'll put it this way. When players get attention, that's a good thing. I'm happy for the players. It's happy for their families. I'm happy for the program. But that's way so far down the list of things that are important. You know, if you keep winning and doing well, people will notice. The late start thing, I wish we played early just so we could play earlier. not worried about the attention part of it. And then Khalil's not either. He's worried about winning. You know, I just heard he was player of the week in the league. That's nice. You know, you get a nice recognition for him and family and for the program, but you know, all that other stuff is really not in my thought. I don't think it's any of our players' thoughts either.
All right, so you heard from Rich Rodriguez talking about this idea of attention and awards, and it's kind of, you know, it's low.
Exposure was a word thrown around.
Yeah,
a lot.
It was, and it's good for the program, of course, for Khalil Tate to be winning Pac-12 Player of the Week 4 weeks in a row, something that has never been done
literally
in the history
never.
Of the conference.
Not just Pac-12, by the way. Someone asked if it was only Pac-12. That also includes Pac-10 and Pac-8, like the history of the conference.
However many teams are in the Pac, it's never been done. So that's obviously good for the program. You want to have exposure. You want to have attention. It's good for recruiting. It's good for business. But it's just not something that he and Khalil are thinking about on a day-to-day basis. He talked, you know, later in the news conference about how Arizona has handled these pressure situations. They've been in a lot of tight games the last few weeks. He said the team's demeanor really hasn't changed. That is really impressive to me when you consider that your starting quarterback is a sophomore who's just turned 19 years old. A bunch of key players are freshmen. I think that's a good sign for the future that they're able to handle these situations. And obviously the situation coming up this upcoming Saturday in LA is going to be about as, you know, high intensity pressure packed kind of a game as they're going to have. But just the fact that Khalil has won 4 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week awards in a row after this amazing October, Zach, what does this mean?
I mean, I don't know. It's like it's never been done. Like it just means that Arizona found its star. Like they haven't had they had Kenyon Carey, they had Scooby Wright, but as I was pointing out to you, like when it comes to like exposure and attention, a quarterback 100 times out of 100 is going to get more than a running back or especially a middle linebacker. So he's putting Arizona on the map. You know, Rich Rod, half jokingly but half seriously, said more recruits are answering their phones now, and it seems like there's a little momentum. And they got a guy named Casey Klein, who's a 4-star in 2019, to commit to them the other day. So it's building some positive momentum, whereas 4 weeks ago, we were like, when's Rich going to get fired? Like, it's just amazing. Like, Khalil has just changed everything. We've said that every week, but it just keeps happening. And until it stops happening, we have to assume it's going to continue.
And as the band is playing the background, nice little background noise for us right now. But no, the one thing that really struck me when I figured out that he was named Pac-12 Player of the Week was I was thinking about how many great players have all been through the Pac-12. Think about the amazing talent that's been through USC. The first thing that came to my mind was Reggie Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, Reggie Bush put up video game numbers when he was at USC.
Matt Leinart.
Mariota at Oregon. Mariota. I mean, he's a Heisman winner.
Andrew Luck.
And there were just so many players that have been through the Pac-12, but Khalil Tate has done something that neither of them have done, which is pretty incredible. And when you talk about being placed on the map, of course, you know, late kickoff times don't really help for exposure, but people are watching now. I think Arizona football, now that they're ranked.
Well, now they can watch.
And now they can watch. Yeah, exactly. But now that they're ranked, now that they're going to be put on a national stage against USC, everybody knows about Khalil Tate. He's a household name now. So, I mean, Rich Rodriguez has got to be feeling pretty good about himself right now. So,
of course, there have been an amazing number of great offensive players over the last 30-plus years.
You covered both
in the Pac-12. I did. I mean, I think part of it is that it wasn't just Reggie Bush on USC. They also had Lendale White, and they had Matt Leinart. So
he's
kind of
on other teams, yeah.
And guys on other teams. Khalil, I don't want to say he's a one-man show, but he's just opened everything else. He's opened up stuff for everybody else with his play. He's just such a focal point. When you watch...
Just look at the Jamie Nunley 2 catches.
Right. I mean, Rich was joking about Jamie Nunley's per-catch average being over 50 yards. That's because there's no one covering him. They were putting, you know, you talk about 8 men in the box, right? As Rich noted, it wasn't always 8 men in the box against Washington State. The safeties sometimes would be playing at their normal depth. But if he showed that handoff, that play-action fake, those guys were crashing really hard.
Yeah.
And if you slip the tight end out, a guy who can run like Jamie Nunley behind them, there's no way to recover.
Yeah.
Even on the early pass they had to Sean Poindexter, the safety came up, and by the time he, you know, kind of wheeled back and tried to get back into the play, he was about 4 yards shy. And so it was basically a one-on-one situation. And you know, you feel like if you're a quarterback or you're a big-time program that if you get your athletes in one-on-one situations, they're going to win most of the time. And I think we started to see that course correction a little bit in this game. We talked about previously on the podcast, you know, how Khalil's passing yards are going up. You know, he had 166 yards in the previous game, which was his high for the season. Now he goes for 275.
Which is the most since the New Mexico Bowl.
Right. He had 182 in the first half, so career high in passing yards in a half. I don't think he had any in the third quarter. But that was a weird quarter, though. It's because they had all those turnovers and J.J. Taylor was running wild. But I don't know what the formula is to stop this guy if he can pass this well. You're tempted to say, we'll crowd the box, we'll take away the run. Well, Washington State did that, and Arizona still scored 58 points. I mean, what would you do, Justin, if you were a defensive coordinator against Khalil Tate?
Well, in the wise words of Mr. Tate himself, no matter what you do, it's going to be a lose-lose situation. It's
pick your poison.
Exactly, pick your poison. Going back to what you said, Michael, about how he opens things up, I remember the narrative before the season was, sure, the passing game is down, but that's also with the receivers. Who other than Shun Brown is going to be that guy that Arizona relies on in the passing game? And it seems to be a lot more than Shun Brown. Rich Rodriguez said, oh, once we get Trevor Wood back, now we have 3 tight ends. For all you guys that have been complaining about us not throwing to tight ends, we have 3 options now. And then you also see Sean Poindexter, and I feel like Tony Ellison every now and then gets a pretty big catch in the second half. So, I mean, he's opening up the passing game so much right now, but I don't see how you defend it. I really don't. You know, USC's defense is a different story because we've been sitting here talking about, oh, this is going to be the biggest test for Khalil Tate against Washington State. They got a pretty physical defensive front. That seemed to be no match. USC, on the other hand, they have athletes that are going to be playing on Sundays. Washington State, you could probably pick maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 guys that could be playing in the NFL soon, but USC...
Like first-round picks.
Exactly. Yeah. These are the athletes that will be the standard for Khalil Tate.
Yeah, I think the difference with a team like USC is you can go ahead and say, you know what, we're fine matching up one-on-one on the outside, and we're going to win those matchups with our cornerbacks, with Jack Jones and Iman Marshall, who are, you know, NFL... type guys. And as far as their defensive front goes, though, I think USC is a little bit vulnerable there. They've had some injuries along the defensive line. Some key guys have missed time. They haven't been that great as far as, you know, stopping a rushing attack. You saw what Notre Dame was able to do against them a couple weeks ago. We'll talk more about that game later in the podcast. I want to talk first, though, about the defense against Washington State. Zach, we talked about this a little bit at lunch, the pass rush, and it just wasn't there. Rich said during his press conference today that he felt like they didn't touch the quarterback the whole game. That wasn't literally true, but it was pretty close to being true. They really did not get to him very much. What needs to change in that regard? How can they, I mean, they can't play against Sam Darnold without getting pressure on him.
I mean, even when you get pressure on Darnold, he can run away from him. And you saw the Wazoo quarterback was running away from guys. Well, there wasn't even anyone pressuring him when he was running away, actually, on those touchdowns. He had two rushing touchdowns, I think, right? Or one?
He did. He had two. Yes. Yeah. He moved around in the pocket pretty well.
But yeah, he moved pretty well. And that might have been a good or bad sign of what's to come against Darnold, because if he's good at that, then Darnold's better than him at that. And Darnold picked them apart last year. But we'll talk about him in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you asked Rich about J.B. Brown is playing more, and they're clearly trying to throw some different looks out there and different guys, see if they can maybe catch on somebody. You wonder if they would look at some of the guys on the scout team, even if they start improving themselves, probably not this week, but down the line. But, yeah, I mean, Kylan Wilborn didn't really have as much of an impact as he has in the last few weeks. He had a few good plays, but, yeah, it's a problem for sure.
It can't be just like Kylan or bust either. Yeah. There needs to be some help from some other guys.
DeAndre Miller was kind of MIA.
He was. Right? I was kind of thinking DeAndre was on the verge, and he didn't play that much and didn't do that much when he was in there. You know, Justin Belknap, I thought he made a couple nice plays that didn't show up in the box score, but didn't really make any impact plays. As far as the inside rushers, I think Derek Bowles played and is playing really well, but he's not a guy who's going to get you a bunch of sacks. So it has to come from somewhere. I think it has to be created schematically. They weren't super aggressive with the blitzing against Washington State. They did mix things up at times, but there was a lot of rush three and drop eight, and it was a pretty safe game plan. And when you don't tackle well, and they did not tackle well at all in this game, you're going to get a lot of chunk plays. There were a lot of dump off passes by the Cougars that resulted in long gains. And when you face a team like USC with explosive athletes like Ronald Jones and Deontay Burnett and all those guys, you cannot afford to tackle poorly. You can't afford to not pressure the quarterback. So they're going to really, I think, have to play more aggressively in this game and just go after him and kind of take whatever the consequences are. And, you know, that's a good segue into what Rich had to say about the aforementioned Sam Darnold. Statistically, has not put up the numbers that people thought this year. But maybe it was kind of an impossible set of expectations to live up to. Let's hear what Rich had to say about Sam, and then we'll talk a little bit more about him and the upcoming game against USC.
Really rolling. I don't know if you say he hasn't been. I mean, I think the expectations were so high for a guy like Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen that if they don't throw for 400 and four or five touchdowns every game, somehow it's a letdown. I mean, Sam Darnold is still one of the best players in the country. He's still a first-round draft choice, and without no question in my mind, he needs to go ahead and declare for the draft. Maybe he'll do that before Saturday. He's phenomenal.
All right, you heard from Rich Rodriguez talking about Sam Darnold. Unfortunately, he will not be entering the NFL draft before Saturday. He will have to face this Arizona defense.
By rules, he's not allowed to in the middle of the season.
Right, right. I mean, Rich, maybe he'll look into some sort of exception for that to try to push him along. He might not even enter the draft this year.
There's some rumors that he might not.
Yeah, he might not be satisfied with where he's at in his career.
He's a different kind of kid. Stock has gone down a little bit, at least in the media eye. I mean, that stock never really changes among scouts in reality.
Right. Well, I wouldn't read into any of that entering this game. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the podcast. Sam Darnold has great ability to buy time, and you know he's a guy
throw on the run.
Right, he's a guy who will scramble, but he looks to throw when he gets out of the pocket, and he's really good at it. And he's also really good at fitting the ball into tight windows. The problem that he's had this year has been turning the ball over. Arizona's defense has been very opportunistic. So Zach, Justin, is this something that the Wildcats can take advantage of?
I was going to say he's. You and I have talked about this. Like, just the way he plays has always reminded me of Brett Favre, where Brett Favre is like this gunslinger, and he obviously put up numbers, and it was one of the best players of all time. But he also turned it over a lot because he was just taking risks constantly. And that's something Arizona can capitalize on. I mean, USC can still win when Darnold turns it over, which they've proven. But Arizona usually wins when they force turnovers at the same time. So if they can, you know, prevent him from getting too many amazing plays, which is hard. Some of them are just impossible to stop. if they can just get some of those picks and, you know, force him to make some of those mistakes or just catch him when he does make those mistakes, that'll probably will be the difference in the game.
You like John Rosenblatt or Zach Madden? what's that name? He reminds me of Brett Favre. No, but totally spot on. He's a gunslinger, and that's the thing is his decision making is maybe sometimes he over. I guess misjudges his receiver's ability sometimes and just tries to force things. He's great in late game situations though. Despite the debacle against Washington State, I mean he's great. So I mean if he's got the ball with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter against Arizona and Arizona has the lead, that's a pretty uncomfortable situation if you're Arizona. But yeah, that the defense, the secondary is going to have a pretty big game.
The corners are going to have to do their job, especially.
They are. I think just as big a concern for Arizona, and maybe the reason that this game is going to be harder to win than a lot of others, is that USC has balance.
Yeah.
They not only have a really good quarterback, but they have a really good running back and a really good running game. Ronald Jones, the second, has...
Rich called him a freak.
He did, and he is a freakishly good athlete. He's extremely fast.
The backups are really good, too.
Yeah, Stephen Carr's been banged up, so I don't know if he's going to be available for this game. And, gosh, USC's had a ton of injuries this year.
USC always has, like, 8 running backs out of 5
they
stars.
They do.
So.
They do. But the special thing about Ronald Jones is that he can get from 0 to 60 in a hurry.
I mean, he's done pretty well against Arizona the last 2 years.
Right. So which one worries you more, Ronald Jones or Sam Darnold, or is it the combination of the two?
I mean, it's the fact that they have both of them that can throw you. But Darnold is just – we haven't – really seen Arizona against a quarterback. I mean, the Wazoo quarterback, they were able to force turnovers. That was the guy's first real game action. But he still, like, showed, like, there's some holes in Arizona's defense.
Right.
And Arizona was able to do the bend-don't-break thing where they got a million yards, but they didn't score enough points. If they can do that again, then you can keep winning. But you're playing with fire there if you're relying on 2 turnovers every week.
And also another thing going back to the Wazoo game was you look at Tyler Helinski and the way he was able to kind of create plays with his legs just because they, like you said, they brought 3 and they dropped 8. Sam Darnold, he's pretty mobile. I mean, he doesn't look like it, but he can move with his legs. So if you're Arizona, do you still play the conservative defense and you have a lot of defensive backs as opposed to, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I mix it up. And like I said, I'm worried about what Ronald Jones can do on the ground. You know, we saw what Philip Lindsay was able to do when this run started, rushing for 280-something yards.
The Cal running backs look pretty good.
The Cal running backs look pretty good. Washington State, I mean, they don't really even bother to run the ball.
At least they didn't this
so
day.
So you have to sort of discount that. But that worries me. I mean, if they're regularly getting chunks of yards on the ground, that opens up the play-action game.
Yeah.
And we've seen it on the other side. When Arizona is able to run the ball as well as they are, that play-action stuff, it's wide open.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of the double whammy. When you look at these 4 teams that they have beaten over the last 4 weeks, I feel like this is the strongest combination of a quarterback and a running back that they faced. You know, we knew about Philip Lindsay in Colorado. Steven Montez, still kind of young, figuring things out. Josh Rosen, obviously great NFL quarterback, but UCLA hasn't been a good running team. Cal wasn't really a great offense, period. Washington State, one-dimensional, pass first. Run every once in a while. USC can do both.
Every single one of those teams you just mentioned are all one-dimensional offenses.
Right, right, yeah. And USC has both dimensions, so that worries me. How do you guys think that Khalil will perform? I mean, last year, his first start came against USC. He was young. He was not ready. Kind of started out okay. He was all fired up, but then turned the ball over a couple times, and things just totally collapsed from there. How do you think he'll handle this situation, being in the spotlight and also going up against a bunch of his high school teammates?
Well, I was going to say, he's going to be in his backyard. You know the crowd's going to be filled with Sarah alums and his family. I'm curious if he's going to do the V for victory if and when he scores again. to do that as a true freshman like he did, that's kind of, like I've said in the past, that kind of showed you the kind of swag that he had beforehand and the confidence. But yeah, I mean, I've been saying this every week, and until somebody proves me that they can stop him, I'm just going to assume he's going to keep doing what he's doing. If anyone was going to, I mean, I said this with Wazoo, but like you said, I mean, USC has NFL talent on their defense. So if anybody was going to at least cause problems for him, it was going to be the Trojans.
And Rich Rod said this today, which really impressed me, was the more Khalil Tate plays every week, the more buzz and more attention that Arizona's getting. Now he's named to the Maxwell Award watch list given to the top college football player. And like we just mentioned, fourth straight week as Pac-12 Player of the Week, which has never been done. But his demeanor has never changed. He's still the calm, cool, humble Khalil Tate that we see every week. So I think this week is going to be personal, considering he is an LA kid and last year's blowout loss. He's a road dog, so I don't think Khalil is going to change at all. I don't think he's going to have off game.
The challenge for him, I feel like, is to make sure he doesn't try to do too much, because sometimes you get in that situation where you're like, you really want to prove yourself.
Hero ball.
You're playing in front of your friends and family. You're playing against your ex high school teammates, and you know you try to do it all. He still needs to run the offense, take what the defense gives him, make good reads, all those things. We haven't seen, though, really interestingly. You know, sometimes guys get too jacked up at the beginning of the game. I felt like Brandon Dawkins sometimes would make some of his worst overthrows at the start of the game, like he was too amped up. We have not seen that from Khalil. Every pass he's made early in a game has just been with fantastic touch. So he might just have that demeanor, that mentality that this stuff doesn't affect him, you know, which to me is exactly what you want in a quarterback, because there's going to be ups and downs during the course of a game, during the course of the season. You need to weather that stuff. You need to remain calm and cool and be that good leader.
This will be the biggest stage he's played on.
It is, in more ways than one.
Nationally ranked teams, nationally televised game at USC.
Pac-12 networks aren't available nationally? Zach, I think they are. And, you know,
I mean, only to like 10 people across the country.
Right. This is, yes. For those who don't know, this is will be Khalil Tate's first game this season, you know, in which he's the starter. That is not on Pac-12 networks. It is an ESPN game. So,
and also, we found out next week won't be either. It will just be on at like midnight.
It'll be on a little bit late. You know, it's
gonna ESPN 2, though.
You're gonna have to put some coffee on in the office, Justin, to stay up for that 8:15 start against Oregon. Oh no, you'll be at the game.
He'll be there.
Have coffee in the press box.
Pac-12 early morning. Let's get it.
Pac-12 early morning. Let's make that a thing, or let's not make that a thing.
Let's not make that a thing. That's pretty
wack. No. All right. Well, that's our show for today. You know, you can check out all of our work, as always, on Tucson.com, as well as the free Wildcaster app. We got all kinds of cool stuff on there. Please check out my weekly rewind, my 5 takeaways from the game. I threw some screenshots in there again. I think everyone loves the screenshots. Didn't do any drawings this time, guys. Sorry about that.
Real lazy.
Sorry. I've been a little under the weather. Anyway, for Justin and Zach, I'm Michael. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.